answer the telephone if anyone asks you. Please, it was treated. It is like that. Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, Mr. Bojangles, I reach you. The scarf of wearing black and white is about the things on the table. This one could be counting up. This one has been being a very American. The scarf of wearing black and white. So if you see any of those baggy pants, chuck the things, it was huge. And if you know, it was a violin to be.
WMFO in Medford, Rising with Sky Bar, as Ray said, the doctor, I should say. Key of Caustic will be up in about, I don't know, about 12 minutes. Going to play a few songs before that. Got to get some songs out of the way that I promised people I'd play this week. I'm going to start off with a song called Wasted Life, though. We'll be up very shortly.
Before Dolphin joined the band, we used to have a drummer by the name of Jim Riley, who was a very good friend to all of us, as was his younger brother. This is for him. This is called Wasted Life.
Stiff Little Fingers live with Wasted Life. I'm going to play a couple of newer tunes now by brand new releases. Cold Expectations, Kate Redgate, and Answer Man. I'll have a new stuff out. I'm going to play those three, and then we'll be back with Kiev Caustic to talk a bit and play some of that stuff. Right now, though, this is a song called French Trench Coats.
Somewhere on the edge.
All right, that was The Answer Man with Prophet, new single off of a Black Light poster. Their new release, Kate Redgate with Big Horizon, and Cold Expectations with Trench Coats. That is off of, that's also a single that they just put out a CD. The name of it escapes right now. I'll get to it as the show goes on. But I'm here with Kiev Kostic. What's up, guys? Thanks for coming in.
Hey, how's it going?
How we doing?
Good, good. Why don't you, I guess, introduce yourselves?
Sure. So I'm Jimbo Jones.
Mike DeFranco.
And we've got Tyler Roth here.
Hey, nice to have you all in. So how'd you guys all get together and form this thing? Tough questions first.
Yeah, tough questions. You know, it was, I wanted to do something. I wasn't in a band when COVID first hit. And so I thought, wow, what a great time now to start doing something. So the goal was just to write a few songs, get out into some pubs locally when, and, you know, the 15 days to slow the fucking spread thing.
Yeah, that's all right. Sorry. That's all right.
You know, goes away. Made some demos, sent them out. The feedback came back and said, hey, these are great, but this is not acoustic duo stuff. This is, you got to get a band around this. And so that's the catalyst that sort of formed it.
Yeah, a lot of work came, I find, during COVID with bands, because there was nothing else to do. You couldn't play out. You couldn't, so you wrote and worked on your stuff.
Right. Yeah. And then, you know, put a band together around it, and first I pulled in some friends. You know, that's the easiest thing to do is, oh, hey, I know this guy, that guy, let's make some music. And it just wasn't vibing the way I had hoped. And so then my thought switched, and I said, you know what, fresh blood, new perspectives, got to bring in some people that I've never played with, worked with, and that's what happened, you know. And so here we are today, you know, almost 3 years later. We've had a couple of iterations, you know, some people have come and gone, but, you know, right now I think we're heading in the right direction. We've got the core group that is creating the music that we want to get out there, and it's just gelling. We vibe it out pretty good. So
yeah, I love your song. So it's been 3 years that, thanks, in some form or another, you've been at it.
Yeah, yeah.
Roughly,
roughly, just about, yeah.
And you get a record deal.
Yeah, I mean, we got signed to Code 213 Records. You know, we're working on some other stuff right now that I really can't go too much into. But yeah, yeah.
And how'd Code 213 come about? Did you just send a bunch of stuff out there and they responded, or did they come to you? How'd that go down?
Yeah, I'm a master email blaster guy. You know, I target people and I go after it pretty relentless, and that's what I did. And, you know, I got a lot of form emails, but the usual stuff. You know, I got an email back from Dennis at Code 213 saying, hey, you know, appreciate it. Even if I like you, it's going to be a year out before we sign you. So keep at it. You know, keep, you know, the usual rejection, blow off stuff. In the meantime, I had sent him a new song that I had just finished, Pretty Little Suicide, actually. Sent it to him. Didn't hear anything. About a week later, I got a phone call, and it was Dennis, and he said, "Hey, I'm you know, I'm cruising around in my car, and I have my stereo pegged, you know, cranked to 10, and I keep rewinding this song.
Yeah,
I know I told you a year. I really dig this. Let's talk." And that's what happened.
So persistence, I guess, right? Because sometimes, and you send something to people and you don't know if they're going to listen to it that week or like in 4 months, because you don't know what people's schedules are like, I guess, yeah, how busy they are. And so, but yeah, sometimes I imagine you throw the line out and you don't hear anything for a while and you're like, oh, well, that didn't work out.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, he's like, yeah, it's good stuff. Right. Watch on.
Keep,
yeah,
taking shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taking bites at that apple. You know, and I'm sure, I mean, all these guys are just inundated every day with hundreds, if not thousands, of unsolicited stuff.
Yeah.
They have to disseminate all that.
They do. Sure, and it's like, even on this little radio show, yeah, this stuff that comes in is, yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
So, like a legit label, that dude must get a lot of stuff every,
oh yeah,
day.
Yeah. Oh. And they won't even respond to it, you know. A big, larger labels, you know.
Yeah. Well that's a shitty. that's the getting the plague.
You're breaking my rules.
Yeah, I know. All right. Check it out. Okay. So that's the tough part, is that you don't always get a response or feedback from people. Right. I imagine.
Yeah. But that's where the resilience has to kick in, right?
Right, and you stay at it, keep pegging away.
Yeah, stay at it.
Do you write all the lyrics, Jimbo, or do you guys help out with lyrics, or?
Yeah, I mean,
the music is like, who does the?
Yeah, so I pretty much, you know, I'll come up with an idea for a song, if a melody gets stuck in my head over and over, and I keep reaching for my guitar every free second that I have, and I wake up hearing it and humming it, and I know I need to start forming it into something. So I'll come up with a basic intro, some verses, a chorus, you know, whatever, some dummy lyrics initially. And then if I like that, then I'll go into my little studio that I have and just lay a demo out. And then it goes to the label, and it goes to Paul now. And thumbs up, thumbs down, you know, if it's thumbs up, it goes to these guys. I bring that demo in, and then they put their touch on it.
Right.
So in fact, it doesn't even become a song until their fingerprint is on it. And so it's a world of difference when you go from that homemade, you know.
Oh, yeah.
My demo at 2 in the morning, probably drunk. Versus what, you know, we deliver with these guys. So, yeah, it's a repeatable process that works. You know, and then we bring it in, and we'll rearrange some lyrics if we have to, and we'll switch out. Mike, you know, adds his backup vocals to it and knows exactly when to do that.
Yeah.
So it's a creative process.
So you'll get the demo out and get feedback from that before you even give it to the guys.
Oh, yeah.
So you know it's worth passing along.
Yeah.
It's kind of good. You get, like, a second opinion on it.
Right.
Before you're like... Because you might think this is great, but I guess it's good to have another person weigh in on it, a person of credibility, and say, yeah, this got something here.
Yeah. You know, they were like, they thumbs up stuff. I was like, they're never going to, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, it's stuff I was,
you never
I was
know.
Really high on, you know, and it got in the toilet.
Yeah. Right. I imagine it goes both ways.
Yeah. Solo album someday.
Right.
There's a lot that starts out completely different and then just like ends up totally, you know, with all our different touches on it.
So sometimes when you guys get the demo, does it change radically from that? You're saying
definitely can.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
It'll move.
Oh yeah.
So that's great though. It's a team. It's, you know, you flesh the idea out, and then it becomes a song.
Right.
Once these guys get a handle on it.
Now though, we have Paul Coldery that, he sort of, like, once it does that process, then he'll, like, he was just in Boston. He was at our studio a couple weeks ago for the day. Try this, do that. How about ease up on the drums here? How about we switch this up? Hey, how about a walking bass line here? Hey, Jimbo, how about we yell here? You know, stuff like that to really refine it. And it's being under his tutelage, is really.
Yeah.
I mean, these next songs that we're going to launch, you know, sometime in July, most likely,
right.
August, it's they're going to be amazing. Just given the feedback that we've gotten from him so far.
You're going to be monsters.
Monsters.
For sure.
Cool.
Pretty stoked, man.
I'm going to play a couple songs, and then maybe you can talk a bit about them, and we'll talk a bit more, but I'm going to open up with a song that I like a whole lot called Closet.
Ooh. Good one.
Strong start.
Mm-hmm.
right, there you have it. Kiva Caustic, Closet and Watch It Burn. Two great songs. I was telling these guys, Closet, I guess, was the first single. I didn't know that. But Closet was, I think that's a great song. That's probably the favorite song I've heard so far from you guys. I think it's all great. And then Watch It Burn, different sound, I think you could say, right?
Yeah.
Still very much you. So I'm going to tell me a little bit about those two songs.
Yeah, you know, so Closet is just sort of our, you know, our headfirst dive into, you know, 1970s punk, right? Sex Pistols, Ramones, that kind of thing.
Banger.
Yeah, we wanted to pay homage to those guys and bring something into now, and that, you know, that's our way of doing that. And it got legs and took off. It's still going crazy. And, you know, Watch It Burn is a little bit of a different spin, you know. It's
Is that your most recent? No. Or is it? It's fairly recent, right? As far as when you put
recent,
that out?
Yeah, second to Where Did It Go is the most recent one. And then that was before that. Yeah. But, you know, we wanted to do something that was kind of like that California vibe, you know, that Orange County kind of a feel. Long Beach Dub All-Star, kind of little licks here and there and stuff. And so, hey, it's whatever we feel, we do. And
it's like a beach mosh.
Yeah.
It's like a beach mosh vibe.
Yeah. And by the way, those are actual harmony guitars. That's not an octave pedal.
That's cool.
Need to say that. Yeah. We do that live, too, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's a totally different sound, but I think you nailed both of them.
Thanks, dude.
You know, it's I'm going to play a couple more. We got time, right? Might as well play your tunes.
Yeah. Sure.
I'm going to play, you just mentioned Where Did It Go?
Yeah.
We're going to play Where Did It Go and maybe Myopia, maybe we'll see how it goes.
All
but
right.
Right now we're playing this one, and then we'll go from there. To me. We're back. WMFO in Medford. Couple more. Rising with Sky Bar. There was a couple more from Key Acoustic. Myopia. A little bit of a acoustic sound in there. You want to talk about that one a bit?
Yeah, I love acoustic guitar. You know, it's hard to incorporate it into, you know, predominantly punk songs. We've got a few more, though, too, you know. So Myopia was just a song that, you know, had a great rhythm to it, had a great chord progression, and it's really a deep, deep song, you know, lyrically. And it was a shift for the band to sort of, you know, even on stage, to go from my Les Paul Jr. or my Telecaster or whatever to, you know, my acoustic guitar. But the crowd digs it. I think it breaks it up a little bit, the set.
Well, once again, it's a change of pace, and it's, you know, that's a cool thing about you guys, that within your band there's so many layers of sounds.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, these day-to-day, like, I feel like you kind of have to be a little bit more
eclectic
broad,
of sorts.
Yeah, definitely. You know, because then you can get different viewers, different listeners, and you know, something for everyone to enjoy.
Sure. And I already forgot, what did we play before Myopia?
We played Where Did It Go?
Where Did It Go?
The new one.
That's right.
How dare you, Scott?
I know. I know. Well, you know what happened? I was fluxing around here with this with my iTunes, trying to pull a song up. But so a little bit about that.
Yeah, again, that was one of the ones that, you know, was guided by Paul Coldery, you know, where he wanted me to write a song that, again, reached back out, you know, that sort of brought vintage punk rock back into the now, you know, with a little bit of the modern spin on it, you know. And, man, that was a challenge, too, because, you know, the music, it came out great. The song went together well. Lyrically, that was the big challenge, you know, and Paul gave me some, you know, gave me some homework to change up my my lyrics, which was a little bit of a new thing for me. But once I understood where it was going, you know.
It was sage advice.
It was sage advice, absolutely.
The lyrics just come to you when you're, like, you know, doing nothing and you have to work on it?
No, it sort of just comes, you know. It's a theme. I sort of gravitate to a theme. And then just over the course of my day, I tell these guys, I have this radio in my head. I don't know, man. I just hear it in my head. I can't explain it. I hear it and I have to do it.
The radio's on. You can have the radio on.
That's it, man. And never change the channel.
You want to plug some stuff? I know you have a lot of shows. You have a busy month, right? Month and a half, couple months from.
Yeah, we're busy till December. Actually, we're busy all the way through to the end of the year.
Right. Oh, and I was going to ask, you have all these singles. At some point, I imagine this will become a full length of some sort.
Oh, yeah, this year. That's the goal this year, especially with working with Paul.
Yeah,
you know, we want, and you know, Dennis at Code 213. He's been, you know, wanting to do a debut album for a while, so it's coming.
Yeah, we were talking off here. That's what everyone does now. They put out a bunch. That's like, I don't know any local band that puts an album out.
Yeah.
Even nationally too. Actually, they all have these singles.
At least three to test out and get people interested in the album. And then, like, when the album drops, you know at least a couple of the songs that are going to be on there. You know, dropping an album out of nowhere.
No one does that.
Nobody's hearing it. What's the
no one does that, and it's. We were talking again. I was mentioning Chelsea Curb. I think they had 7 or 8 of those songs were singles before.
It's such a great band.
Yeah, they are. They'll probably win the Rumble, but I don't know what that means anymore. But you know, a win's a win.
Chalk it up in the W column.
Yeah, but
absolutely.
I don't know if you want to plug anything in particular, any shows.
Yeah. So actually, we have our first show that we've never played Lowell before, and so we're going to be at Warp and Weft on Friday, May 12th.
I hear Lowell's a burgeoning market.
It is.
I got to get up there. Yeah, they have great shows there.
Yeah.
Great venues.
Yeah.
Great restaurants.
Yeah.
I hate the word gentrification because to me that means shut down my rehearsal studio. But there's a big gentrification push up there, so all kinds of new cool things are opening up.
Yeah, a lot of new things have been going on in Lowell. Jump in there.
And it's not that far. Like, I think Lowell, but it's not.
It's 25 minutes.
Yeah. Half hour max. Which
we're playing with some cool bands, too. We're playing with Hammered Saint.
Great band.
Yeah, really great band.
Great band.
I've been a fan for a while. We've never played together, and, you know, we just sort of...
Where's that show?
That's the Warp and Weft in Lowell. Yeah. Burp is on the bill, too. We played a bunch of shows with them. They're a fun band.
Oh, Burp's awesome.
Yeah, they're awesome. And then we're playing with Museum Directors as well, so we've got a nice, you know, a nice nice lineup
right there.
Should be a good crowd too. So Friday, May 12th, 8 p.m. Warp and Weft in Lowell.
Be there.
I'm a 8:45. I'm gonna sneak in. We'll sneak in pretty little Suicide, which was one of your first ones. Was or what? Am I
yeah,
wrong?
No, it was okay. Yeah. It was. And there's two different versions.
Are there?
Yeah.
See which one I got. I don't know which one I got. We'll find out, right?
Yeah.
But I'm gonna get you out on this note. But thanks for coming in again, and good luck with getting that album out.
Oh, absolutely. That's gonna be once that comes out. It's gonna be monstrous. Who knows what doors that's gonna open up?
We're talking to tour, and you know we've got some cool stuff.
Oh, I'm sure.
Opening up for us.
You get a buzz around you.
Yeah, we do. A little bit of a buzz. It's good. It's
fun. Well, that I imagine that vinyl's so difficult nowadays, right? To get made and to.
Yeah, I mean it'd be cool to get a 100 copy vinyl out there. Something limited run and something to hold on to. I think. If you don't do a vinyl, you're kind of missing out, but you can't do a whole bunch of them. Small limited release.
But it won't just be digital. Like, will it be CD?
It'll be CD and some vinyl, too.
Which I think is so cool. I mean, the singles obviously are all digital when you drop them, but when you put the product out, some people do that, too. It's just all digital. And I'm a fan of the liner notes and some... People don't always put lyrics in, but the liner notes at least, and yeah, it's something you can hold.
Yeah.
Plus, Skybar, 50 years from now, we want our album in that one of those racks.
We'll put it I'll put it in there as soon as it drops. All right, guys, thanks a lot. I'm gonna play Pretty Little Suicide. A couple
Peace
other
out,
tunes.
Y'all. Thanks for listening. KeyAcousticBand.com.
Sweet. All right, here we go.
people won't give you the real talk on drugs. But it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
WMFO in Medford, Rising with Sky Bar. Just heard the worst, a song called Like Vaseline, Sapling with Snake Charm, a newest single by them. Key of Caustic, Myopia. Actually, we played that a while ago. I want to thank the guys again for coming in. Oh, we played Pretty Little Suicide as well by Key of Caustic. 8:55, as I said, WMFO in Medford, Rising with Sky Bar. We're going to get out of here. I'm going to play one by Watts, and I will see you next week. Thanks for listening.
It's all I can do. It's all I can say. It's all I can.